a lot of crying, a lot of people who weren't seeing their families, working all night long just to keep up with the demand. And so I shifted to, my calls were about, how are you doing? Take time off, turn off the Zoom, don't get on, you need your sleep, right? Really focusing on empathy for my team during that time period.
Welcome to SaaS Connect, the SaaS Partnership Podcast, brought to you by the Cloud Software Association. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com.
Wow. I have to admit, I was actually very nervous about coming to speak today because I wasn't behind a screen with touch up your image and looking good behind that and all the filters you can do. But it's great to see all faces out here. All right. So who am I? I just want to tell you a little bit about myself. I am a mom. I have two beautiful daughters. Of course, they're my daughters, so I think they're awesome and amazing. And they are 12 and 7, and they saw me through this whole crazy chaos as well in the last 2 years. As I've gotten older, I've decided that scares me, I'm going to try to do it. So I was really petrified of surfing. And so my daughter laughed at me. I was the oldest person in the surfing class in Hawaii, but decided I'm going to do it. And then I took up skiing this last year too. So things that are physically hard, decided to do it. I've been in the tech industry for about 20 years now in various roles, marketing, sales, business development, a channel. I have been in 4 organizations that have gone pre-IPO to IPO. I'm crazy. I like the rush. And the last one has been Zoom, which was an amazing experience. Before that, I was at a company called Nutanix. Before that, at Box. And then before that, at Riverbend. All right. So when I was thinking about how I build a framework for this discussion today around what we experienced in the last 2 years and actually 4 years, there was really 4 P's that came to my mind. The first one was product. So going to a company that's a single product to a multi-product and a platform, huge complexity when you're trying to build a partner organization around that. The second was program. You need a partner program. All the speakers up here were talking about it, which is really important. You really have to nail this and get it right if you are going to scale. It's an imperative. Third is partners. How do you find the right partners? How do you recruit the right partners? How do you make sure they consume the program in the right way and you get them to do the behavior that they want? And then finally, people. So this P is one that I think is neglected. When you're a partnership leader and you're trying to scale an organization, you have to hire the right people and lead them in the right way too. This is a very important P. People don't talk about enough, I think. All right, let's start with product. So I think you guys all know Zoom. I think all of you know this product really well. So Zoom is 10 years old. So the company was launched in 2011. Years later, the first product which was launched, which you all know, Zoom Meetings. After that, we had our developer conference, our platform in 2017. Zoom Phone was also announced in 2018, as well as our Zoom Marketplace. That's when I started as well in 2018 at the company. A year later, we IPO'd. And then after that, the global pandemic hit. And we went from 10 million daily users to 300 million almost overnight. To say it was chaos is an understatement. And again, the people part of the discussion was really important because I was stressed, and I was stressed mostly about my people, to be honest with you, and making sure that they were okay at night. And then finally, 2021, a Zoom Phone, which is our newest product, reached over 2 million users in over 40 countries, the fastest growing phone product of its kind. All right, so Zoom's vision is to create inclusive, immersive, collaborative experiences for everyone. And here's the platform. So the top blue, the unified communications ones you guys are all familiar with. We have our meetings product. We have a conference room product called Zoom Rooms. We have chat. We have phone. These are all probably the core that you guys are all familiar with. Then enter the development platform. So one thing during the pandemic that happened was people were getting really creative with their uses of Zoom. All these different use cases were popping up from the yoga instructor to the church leader to the happy hour person to all the things our customers were doing. And it really pushed us to actually think about the development platform even quicker than we were. And we put a team up there and started working on that because we wanted all these customers to continue to consume Zoom in all these creative ways. So all the tools we developed, this app marketplace, you see over 1,700 apps are on that now. Zoom apps, which is the UI within the product that was developed so that your apps you can use within the UI versus having to go to another screen. all the APIs and SDKs we developed. And that is also a large strategic initiative for the company as well, furthering growing this integration and app marketplace. Virtual events. I call this a COVID baby. I've always called that. Is the on Zoom. So on Zoom is basically that. So all these B2C consumers who want to run events on Zoom were doing it kind of on the fly before. It was not built for that. But as a result of COVID, we saw all these different use cases and built a product to be able to enable all these different consumers to use Zoom on the fly. So that's on Zoom. We obviously have a webinars product. And then also Zoom events, which is large events being used on the platform. And finally, we just launched a contact center product. So as we all know, work has evolved. Prior to the pandemic, I don't know about you guys, but I was driving into the office every day, right? And making sure that I met with my colleagues in person and did what I had to do. At the pandemic, we all were forced home and we're doing everything virtual. And now there is today. And today is a big question mark. I think people are confused. They're still trying to figure it out. Do we go back to the office? Do we let people work remote? Is that efficient? Is that productive? I read articles almost every day about different leaders talking about what they're going to do with their workforce. So we all know it's going to be hybrid. It's going to be distributed, but how? And so we have to also be able to enable that in the most productive way possible. All right. So in 2019, Zoom had 74,000 customers, about a $330 million annualized run rate, right? And then about 1,700 employees. And today, after the pandemic, the growth was crazy. Over 500,000 customers. We are in over $4 billion in revenue, over 6,800 employees. With that, I'm actually going to jump to this slide. Zoom was the fastest company to $4 billion in history. So during the pandemic, the company was growing about 356% or so in revenue is what they were saying. The partner team, so my team, grew 760% in revenue. We doubled that. And so that alone can tell you the demand. Customers were going to their partners, their trusted advisors and consultants to ask them what to do during this time period. Because we actually thought it was going to be the reverse. Because Zoom is mostly a direct sales company. When I started in 2018, the company was mostly direct. We had very little revenue through partners. We're now closer to about 30% overall through partners. But just that growth alone during the pandemic tells you a lot about what customers were thinking. And so how did we extend the Zoom experience? So all of you know Zoom Meetings as that killer app we use every day to conduct our business. And how did we migrate that to a platform? So as I said, we really focused on what the customers were asking for and all the different use cases that we saw were coming as a result of the pandemic. And we have this amazing product that our founder, Eric Yuan, he also built WebEx. And why he built Zoom was, if you guys haven't read a story, it's pretty fascinating, that he saw this change. People were moving to social media, being much more virtual, mobile, visual. And he said, okay, this old architecture I built for WebEx for PowerPoint slides, you guys remember that? Just click the PowerPoint, right? You guys never saw faces before? Was obsolete. And so he wanted to change it at WebEx. They didn't want to do it. So he built this little product called Zoom. Everyone thought he was crazy, wasn't going to work. He actually built it because he wanted to see his girlfriend, be able to see her. They were far away. And so he built a product for her. That's pretty cool. Guys, be good boyfriends, build products for your girlfriends, you know? And so the developer platform that we have today is just an extension of that. The architecture that Eric built is very layered. And so what we did was one of the biggest use cases is the video engine that he built, being able to have, for example, gamers now take that engine and be able to build gaming applications around it, right? We have customers in so many different use cases taking the video engine, connecting to the meeting application, customizing through our APIs and SDKs. We also have different tools for developers to be able to do this as well. And then marketplace apps and integrations as well, and be able to publish that on the marketplace, and then resources as well for developers to be able to grow that ecosystem. This spans across different use cases and business solutions. So everything from education, healthcare, financial services, retail. I mean, I think we touch partners in every single vertical. And again, they've been so creative in the way that they consume Zoom. We just want to keep embracing that as well. A few of them, for example, is OutSchool. I don't know how many of you know OutSchool. So I actually used it for my daughters during the pandemic. because unfortunately the school system we were in kind of didn't know how to deal with this. And so I wanted to augment some of their studies. And so we used OutSchool, and they're using Zoom to conduct their classes on OutSchool, for example. OnCall is one healthcare company where they do telemedicine and telehealth. The doctors do with their patients, and they use Zoom for that as well. We have over 1,700 applications on the marketplace today. I think we had a good discussion with Scott earlier around integrations and what that looked like. This is just, I think, going to continue to explode. Adding more value to your product and your platform through partners is part of the aggregation that he was talking about is just going to be even more important because you have to make it simple. Customers want to be able to grab and go. Download something, integrate it, it's done, awesome. I just was able to augment my solution, add more value to the SaaS application that I have today. So we'll continue to grow that as well. And here are just two areas. If you want to be a builder with Zoom, here's where you would go. And then we also have a developer gateway for developers to be able to go in, have community resources as well to be able to get anything they need when they're building their solution for Zoom. The second two, program and partners. And I put them together because they're important to talk to as well, aligned. So the first one is, as you saw, there's this big explosion for Zoom and also the partners that were asking for us as well. So we have about 10,000 partners now in the Zoom ecosystem. Prior to the pandemic, we had about 1,500, 2,000. So just this explosion was crazy. But also because all the different products that I talked about on the first slide, you have to build different partner ecosystems according to as your product matures and changes as well. So we have very different partners today than we did when I started 4 years ago, for example. So our partner ecosystem has three main areas. The first one is technology partners that do integrations with us. These are partners that have their own products like ISVs, hardware partners, and so forth that want to integrate within the Zoom platform. We have go-to-market partners in different industries and solutions and verticals and affiliates that also market with Zoom and co-sell with Zoom. And then we have sales and delivery partners as well, like our distributors, which we talked about earlier today. We have global service providers like the AT&Ts and so forth. We have certified integrators who integrate with our products. And then we have this large referral network as well of partners that just refer in leads to Zoom as well. Here's just a quick snapshot of some of the names of our technology and go-to-market partners. So you get a sense of the breadth of it and some of the names, anything from, you know, Box, who's a tech partner, to Asana, to Polycom, who is one of our hardware partners. And then we have sales and delivery partners as well. And it's hard to see here, but this is also mapped over a globe. So one thing that I also wanted to touch on was that this ecosystem will change by geo as well. Right. So I know people were having a lot of questions. Well, you know, what do you look for? Ideal capabilities for a partner? And the answer is that kind of changes by maturity of your company and also geo as well. So you could argue, like in India, for example, you may need a partner who is extremely strong in the Indian market. They don't necessarily have to be very big themselves, but they may have a large user base. Maybe they help you with currency. Maybe they help you with some data governance and compliance. It all depends on what you need for each geo. What those capabilities are going to change by where you are as a company and what you need in different footprints as well. Okay, so why do people partner with Zoom? Well, first and foremost, because of COVID and our brand and everything, we've just exploded. So people know that they'll gain an advantage just being a partner of ours, and the branding alone helps them from a sales perspective. We help them drive more profitability. We provide partners, either if they're a referral partner, they get a commission as a result of selling the product. If they send it in through our partner portal, and portals, yes, are very important. You need a really strong partner portal. If it's an accepted deal registration, you're partnered with an AE, you get a referral as a result of that once it closes. And then we do have reseller partners as well who sell on their paper. And again, what I found is the referral model does not work as well internationally. They don't like it. Right? Internationally and in global markets, they want to resell your product. You can call it cultural, you can call it anything you want, but that is what I found. And we also now are enabling services for partners. So partners now can also deliver services on behalf of their customers for the product as well. So between the commissions or the margin and the services revenue, it gets pretty beefy for them. And then also they're able to partner with our sales teams as well. They're partnered with an AE on every account. So when I started at Zoom 2018, I built a really simple framework for a program that was meant to just clean up some of the stuff I inherited, as well getting everyone on the same track. We just launched a brand new program called Zoom Up, which we also tried to keep somewhat simple. As you saw from the previous slides, we have so many different types of partners. We wanted to make this easy for partners to consume. So we think every partner type will fit into each three of these buckets. So enrolled partners is you're in, you sign the contract. That's it. You get access to the partner portal. Sales partners have to pass more to get up to that level, and they get more benefits, such as they get a deal reg discount. They pass the sales trainings and so forth. And the third one is performance partners. They have to build competencies around Zoom to be able to meet that level and actually keep those competencies. So everything from professional services to Zoom phone competency around the product, tier one support, customer success, volume levels as well. All right. So how we support partners through their journey is we have a team that focuses on onboarding and activating partners. And we also have a team now in Manila that actually reaches out to every partner after they've been onboarded to ask them their experience, how they're doing, make sure they understand all the resources on the partner portal, get them registered, and talk to them about their training. We engage with them constantly with newsletters, with trainings, our AEs, our CAMs. We're constantly touching our partners as well. And finally, I'll talk a little bit more about this. We have an awesome partner marketing team who has helped us with also build up this really great demand center, which I'll talk about in a little bit. We have also a brand new partner learning center we've built up within the partner portal that has all this robust content that people can consume on their own, on demand, with accreditations. And it also maps with our program as well. And they get these cool badges that partners are also loving to be able to market themselves with as well. And this is really important. Only way you can really scale is if you have content and training that partners can consume on their own time. There's no way you'll be able to touch all these different partners and customize trainings. It just won't work. So this was an awesome experience that our partner marketing team built, is this partner demand center. So partners are able to get the self-service way to build all this demand gen campaigns and have all these tools for them to be able to self-service, syndicate, market, and build demand for Zoom on their own. This has only been about 3 months, and we have over 1,000 partners already launching campaigns just through this demand center as well. And so another thing I did want to talk about was, so we have to be great partner leaders externally with partners, and we have to target partners, onboard them, negotiate with them, do all those things. But once you get to a certain size of company, you also have to do that internally. And so this is a really important point that I want to make sure we all understand too, is that you're not only negotiating with your partners, you're negotiating internally too for buy-in, why you add value, why you need more resources. And so I just put this up here to say that, so where I said Eric's our CEO, I work for our CRO, Ryan, one removed from Eric. There's a very flat organization, very much open dialogue at Zoom. But I spend a majority of my time helping my team succeed, right? So how do I get the resources that we need? How do I make sure we're aligned with the corporate strategy? How do I make sure I get all these different things done? When I started at Zoom, there was none of this, right? So my team, when I started at Zoom was, let me see, I will go there first, actually. I'll get to that. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. Another thing about this is the Partner Advisory Council. So the Partner Advisory Council is something we also get feedback from our partners from as well. We do that twice a year. We have Zoomtopia coming up in November. So all of you would love to see you all there. Now, finally, the people part, which I will touch on. Zoom definitely has a culture of care. And with the pandemic, it was something that us giving away licenses to schools and communities and nonprofits was a big part of us showing too that our technology is here to connect people. So this is a slide I was talking about earlier. When I started at Zoom, there was 5 of us in 2018 who were on the team. There was no partner ops team. There was no partner portal. There was no legal agreements. There was nothing. I looked at my calendar back then. I think I was booked from 7 to 7 every half hour, cross-functionally, trying to get all this stuff up and running for us to be able to scale. In 2019, which is sadly the last picture I have of all of us because the pandemic after that, we were at about 60 people or so. And now we're over 300 people in the partner team. So the scale of the partner team also was just incredible, which is why when I started earlier was, as a leader, you also have to understand you're leading people as well. So of course, a strategy is important and all of those things that we need. We talked about programs and partners and all that. But if you don't hire the right people at the right time, empower them to do the right things, you will not succeed. And that's one thing I really want to hammer in on, right? As a leader, you can't do these things yourself. You can't do everything. I was killing myself when I started at Zoom the first 4 years until I hired this amazing team of people that I empowered. And some of them are so much better than me at certain things. And that's great, right? That's why I hired them. So people is really important too, to make sure that you hire accurately for what phase you're in. And so I was thinking about one word that I could think of that really encompassed what I think we need to do as people leaders, partner leaders, and these last 4 years for me was really agility. We have to be agile. We have to think on our feet, move quickly, modify what we're doing according to what's happening, and be okay with pivoting. If you did something at one point and it wasn't the right thing, you pivot to the next thing. And that is okay. You course correct. So I would say agile is the one word I would take with me these last 4 years. And again, ending with people. It's really about the people, right? So I actually changed my mindset when COVID was happening because it was, I'm going to say, insanity. There was a lot of tears, a lot of crying, a lot of people who weren't seeing their families, working all night long just to keep up with the demand. And so I shifted to, my calls were about, how are you doing? Take time off. Turn off the Zoom. Don't get on. You need your sleep, right? Really focusing on empathy for my team during that time period. Second was prioritization. I can't underestimate how important that is when you are in a crisis or even at the start of building your company. You have to prioritize and you have to say no to things that don't really matter, right? What matters is what you need to focus on. We were doing daily check-ins with the exec team around what we needed to do, what was working, what was not working, what we needed to fix. I also had leadership check-ins with my direct reports. And again, the number one question is, how is your team doing? How is everybody feeling? Are you guys okay, right? Because the world was imploding and everyone was focusing on us. And it was a lot of emotional pressure on top of the physical work. And finally, we have team all hands bi-weekly. And so we were doing all that as well to making sure everybody was checking in and okay as well. And that is it. So thank you.
That is tremendous, tremendous, tremendous information. Thank you. Are you okay with a couple of questions?
Yeah, sure.
Good.
So I had a question about North Star and essentially metrics. What metrics should a partnership team be tracking? And you know, I've seen a wide variety. Some do number of partners, number of leads, et cetera. But there's an interesting discussion we're having internally, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on it.
So again, the answer will change by where you're at in your life cycle as a company. So where are you at right now? Are you, would you say, early in this process?
About a year in.
You're just starting to build up this partner ecosystem, I would assume?
Yeah, we've got about a dozen or so partners already.
Okay.
But the partnership team keeps measuring number of partners that are bringing in. Mm. My concern is, where's the money? There's this big gap between me and them.
Okay. And so you brought up another point. Good point is every company I've worked for has different metrics or what they want from a partner team. So if you're saying money, which is what Zoom wanted from me too, then what you need to start measuring is pipeline. So I don't know if you have a partner portal or how your program looks at, but we look at number of deal registrations. So how much activity is actually happening, how much is converted into actual pipeline, and then bookings associated with that. So those are the three main things we look at. What we're now moving towards, because we have a bigger partner org too, is yield by partner. So we're actually looking at, well, how much is this partner actually producing for us, right? And aligning that with channel managers too. So how many channel managers are there per productive partner? But at the basic part you're at, I would start looking at activities. Okay, well, how much stuff are these partners doing for us? What are they doing? But you have to define activity and what you want that to be.
At my organization, Uninet. And since you brought it up during your Zoom up, I thought I'd ask a technology partner question. Sorry about those that are channel specific. But when you talked about Zoom up, you made a reference that every one of your partner categories fit into Zoom up. Mm-hmm. And my question is around, where do actual technology partners fit in, those integration partners? Because the Zoom Up focused on sales, service, implementation, and technology partners typically don't do that. They're providing an augmentation or additional functionality to Zoom.
Yep.
So where do technology partners fit in that stack?
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, you're right. We have a TAP program we're building for tech partners. It's a little different. So that was more for our sales and delivery partners in those three circles. The technology partners, yes, we're in the middle of building a whole different program just for them, focused on integrations and co-marketing and co-selling and publishing apps in the marketplace. So it is different.
Hi, my name is Uday. I'm part of a startup, 165 people startup. So
awesome.
We still call
Good
ourselves startup. But anyway, I spent 5 years at AWS, but now I'm living a new world. So a question for you, when you look at your channel ecosystem, have you had to play with different percentages when you started off versus different percentages now? You know, from a channel discounts perspective or their commissions?
Oh, are you asking specifically the margin to the partner, what we pay the partner? We haven't changed that too much, actually. But the way that we've built it is, are you a SaaS company?
Yes, we are.
Okay. I'm assuming you have volume tiers by your products for your sales guys?
That's right, yeah.
Yep. Okay, so you'd have your volume tiers. You have MSRP. And then on top of that, we give a discount on top of the MSRP to the partner, but it hasn't changed much. What it is there's two different types. There's non-deal reg. So if a partner is just going to not deal reg, it's lower. It's like 15 points, 15% discount on top. If they do a deal reg, we give them 10 extra percentage points because we want them to deal reg. So it's 25% discount. But fulfillment is only 5 points. So it's complicated, but we have it by the value they're bringing. Is what we change the discount percentages by.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry, one other quick thing. With your tech partners, if they have, again, referrals that come in, do they pass them on to your channel partners?
Sorry, what was the first part?
If you have tech partnerships that bring in any referrals, do you pass them on to channels?
We don't. No. So our referral partners bring them into our AEs. And then we take it down direct and we give them a commission fee. It's a one-time payment. Or there are relationships we have where it's life of the customer. We pay the partner as well.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yep.
Hey, hello.
Hey, Vader.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Vader Hamdan. I head up platform technology partnerships at Twilio, founder of the tech partnership ecosystem on Community Clubhouse. Laura, what you guys have done is amazing. What you and your team have achieved and cultivated from an ecosystem, it's a lesson for all of us. I want to ask
you
a tough question, if I may.
Okay.
What is the one thing, reflecting back on all of this, right?
Uh-huh.
The crazy days when you had 30 minutes, back-to-back meetings. As you were bringing the teams together and getting the stakeholders all aligned and like going from direct to partner-led, what is that one thing that you, if you reflect back and say, God, I wish we doubled down on this.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is the one thing, in hindsight, we probably should have not done that?
What was the second one?
So in hindsight, what is the one thing that you probably would have not done reflecting back on all of this?
Okay.
And then what is the one thing that you would have doubled down on?
So doubling down, it's not sex, people, but I would say operations and automation. I mean, I pushed for that a lot at the beginning, but there's a lot of reluctance to it because Zoom wasn't sure how big this ecosystem is going to be. They're kind of testing it out, not sure. But the number of manual processes we have is so, it's just really hard for our partners. So I would say automation, absolutely. Automation and operationalizing as much as you can from the beginning. And the second question you had was on something we should have not done. I don't know if there's anything we should not have done. I mean, I think there would have been things I would have liked to do faster. Like, so we have a Zoom Phone product that really didn't get to the channel for a year after. So it was really hard for our partners. They could not sell it except referral model. And our international partners, like I talked about, wanted to be able to resell it on their paper. And there was a lot of reluctance around that. So we should have done that faster. They are getting that now. We are launching reseller partners to be able to put it on their paper now. But that we definitely should have done that earlier. A lot of heartache around that.
Congratulations on scaling your team.
Thank you.
My question is, as you scaled your team, what are the qualities that you were looking in people that you were bringing on board? And like typically, what are the qualities you look for partner managers?
That's a great question. Okay, so it depends on the partner type. So if I'm looking for a technology partner manager, My ideal person is someone with a technical background who's like a product, had been a product manager in their past, or is has technical aptitude and is now moved to the business side. I also love someone who at some point has worked at a startup and then also for Zoom today also has some large company experience. So both of those things are awesome because then I know the person understands we are not at the big company phase, even though everyone thinks we are because we're a big company. It's still chaos and things are not operationalized yet, that I need someone who's okay with a little bit of that chaos. So having that mindset is important too. And then, you know, it's interesting. I want to make sure I have a no jerks allowed policy on my team. We literally say that. And so I just want to also make sure when we're interviewing someone that they don't have ego, that they're welcome to learn, that they're collaborative. And you can get that from some of the questions you pose to people too, how they answer them. And those qualities are really important too. On the channel side, obviously I don't look for like the technical aptitude as much on the channel sales side. You look at someone who has deep relationships, is a go-getter, proactive, a self-starter, because that's a different mindset. It's more of a salesperson's mindset. And same thing, somebody who also, if they've worked at a startup in a big company, that's also my ideal at this stage. And no ego as well.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. Fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you, Steve.
If you like this and want more great insights on software partnerships, you've got to rate, like, and subscribe. And join us at thecloudsoftwareassociation.com. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com. We'll see you on the next episode.